Why can't Christians agree on anything? Name a subject, name a topic or an idea, and you will find a wide diversity of opinions. Even on the most important issues, you will find Christian leaders taking opposite positions, whether it's moral issues of the time, whether it is to go to war or not to war, whether it is the rights of abortion or to ban abortion. Whatever the issue, there are a wide variety of views. The Roman Catholic Church imagines that by giving the Pope absolute authority, that puts an end to discussion and debate. But of course it does not. Whilst he might declare what the Church's position is, it doesn't mean that everyone agrees with him, as the recent synod in Rome on the family proves. There are always very many opinions. And that is both our strength and our weakness, because there is no coercion in belief. Belief must be something that is willingly, voluntarily engaged in. And when we uphold that belief and commit ourselves to it, that is faith. But faith cannot be forced. And even Jesus, the man, when he came, born as the Son of God in Bethlehem, did not, perhaps could not, force people to recognize him for what he was. It had to be the choice of all those who encountered him. And today, it is exactly the same. There can be no force in faith. Well, and that is at the heart of the problem of religion in our world today. That force in parts of Islam, which believe so strongly and powerfully in the divinely ordained order of things, that everyone must fall in line. And if they do not fall in line, then they must be made to do so, is what is causing ripples of pain, of destruction and distress. But Muslims today are not the only religious section of the world that to believe such a thing. It is not so very long ago that Christians also were sucked into that idea that Christianity could be put right at the center of all society and be that order and framework which would bring absolute clarity of purpose. And the kings and queens of the lands would be set there with the divine right to do so, to rule over the people as a divinely placed force, in a sense, to rule on behalf of God, to bring about God's kingdom. Or the Holy Roman Emperor, not simply the emperor of the states of Europe, but the Holy Emperor, the one to do God's will, and therefore who could not be removed or disagreed with. And of course, we don't have to think too hard about the history of Europe and of the Church to come to a remembrance of the Crusades and the terrible scar on the face of Christianity that was, to bring about Christian belief by force and to meet the challenge of Islam with the power of the sword. And the marks of that period of history are still felt today. Interesting, isn't it? If you read the writings of ISIS, which are freely available, anyone can go look at them and what they stand for, and they routinely describe the people of Europe and the West as the Crusaders. Not just those who fight, everybody. Everybody who disagrees with their vision of the world, especially those rooted in the West, are the Crusaders. And so every time we repeat that sort of language, and it does get repeated now and again when we engage in a military campaign in the Middle East, you will hear somebody almost certainly talk about it as a crusade that we're engaging with. They don't mean it, perhaps, in the original meaning of the word, but it evokes all those images of Christians marauding to foreign lands to subjugate the heathen. We should be very careful, too, in our language and how we play into the hands of those who want a conflagration, who want a massive confrontation of peoples. We should be very careful indeed. Jesus comes to Pilate, battered and bruised, on his knees in front of the power of the Roman Empire. And Pilate says to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus does not answer, simply throws the question back at him. At least in John's Gospel he does. What the reading we had misses is Pilate's other question. What is truth? The most famous question posed in the entire Bible. Unfortunately, not in the lectionary reading for today, but the question which hangs over all human existence. What is truth? And that is what draws us surely to faith, is to seek to understand the truth. But it is an exploration in life, one in which perhaps at times we feel closer to the answer than others, and then it might disappear or just fade a little. But that search for the truth, to understand what it's all about and what is my part in it, lies at the very heart of all human existence, and especially at the heart of religious faith. But the end, the end point of all of that is not simply to know the truth. It is to continue asking the question. That is the nature of faith. We do, of course, want answers. We don't only want questions. And Christianity offers answers rooted in the very person of Jesus Christ, who came to live amongst us and who showed us the nature of God as God is and the nature of humanity as we are called to be. We are seeking. We are trying to find those answers. And so it is that we engage with those difficult, demanding issues that trouble us and all people. The radical thing of Jesus' life is that, in fact, he rules as king from the cross, not from his throne. His greatest moment is not the Sermon on the Mount, is not any of the great miracles, important as they are. It is the moment when he takes all the pain and hatred of the world into himself and says, "God knows. God understands. God is with you." And so we are called to go there too. Not to lord it over others, but to follow in Christ's way and to serve. We cannot make God's kingdom here on earth. We are not going to enthrone anyone as the king and lord on earth and make everyone bow to him or her. We are part of another kingdom, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from here. If it were so, my followers would fight for me." But they do not. They let him go. And Jesus does not demand that they should fight for him. He goes faithfully to the cross as the victim to show that love can win. The kingdom of heaven may be elsewhere, but whenever we do those things that God wants us to do, the kingdom, we get a glimpse, an image of the kingdom here on earth. So every good and kind deed, every act of generosity and self-sacrifice, small and large, every time people are cared for and healed through the establishment of hospitals in places where people have no or inadequate medical care, every time a child is given the opportunity of education who has been denied it previously, there is the kingdom of God. It's there, and then it disappears. It's here, but we cannot grab it. We cannot hold it. There is more yet to come. We are citizens of another kingdom, but who seek to show the reality of that kingdom here on earth. There is stuff to do, not with violence, not with hatred, not with returning like for like. That is not Jesus' way, but to meet every challenge, however demanding, with love. A love that is prepared to go the whole way. In Ridley Scott's stunning film, The Kingdom of Heaven, tells the story of a French artisan who goes to serve in a crusade to save his soul. But in going to fight, he discovers another journey within, a journey of self-understanding. And it's set at the time of the end of the 12th century, in the midst of the Crusades. And Saladin is doing his work, and the Crusaders are doing their work, and the innocent are strewn in their way. And they fight over the ownership of Jerusalem, and they fight over the ownership of the Holy Land, and blood is let. And they engage in that film, graphically, in that hand-to-hand combat, distressing and disturbing as it is. And then as they fight in the breached walls of Jerusalem, right towards the end of the film, and swords are flashing and spears are driving home, and blood is spilt right through the streets of Jerusalem. And suddenly the camera takes a different point of view and looks at the fighting from above and gradually pulls out, and you simply see a mass of humanity getting smaller and smaller, unable to distinguish one from another. They simply become a mass of fighting ants. As if from God's eye point of view, looking down upon this destruction and madness of humanity, those who fight on earth to make heaven a reality, but who have lost all sight of heaven. It is our job as Christians to hold on to that vision of heaven that is in our hearts, but that is also in our world. Yes, to stand strongly for what we believe, but not to descend into the depths of hatred and destruction. To hold on to that vision of the King of Love, who knelt in weakness in front of Pilate and offered no defense, so that he might, in his life and death, show the full extent of God's love for humanity. And our job, to love that love as best we can, following in the way of Christ, that God's kingdom may, in whatever small way is in our power, be made real here and now. Amen.